Vegas lights shine bright, bad boys sitting pretty. Michael, Steve, Rob running things in Sin City. Podcast blazing truth, rhyming hard and witty. Three kings on the mic, Vegas life gets gritty. Matt Michaels dropping bombs, quick wit, no filter. Sin City's own, blending gold with the silver. Steve taking notes, every word's a thriller. Rob's on the tracks, beats cold like a chiller. Bad boys a podcast, raw truth they broadcast. Speaking facts so fast, haters coming dead last. Las Vegas legends, three amigos, top class. Mic in hand, setting fire, never outclassed.
Hey, everybody, Matt Michael, Sin City, Steve, and Rob Bossolier here on the Vegas Bad Boys of Podcasting. And, gentlemen, it's kind of crazy because last Sunday we had Ty Lee, Texas, on talking about Sabu. And
that's an understatement.
Well,
that was an understatement.
It was great that she told her story. And that was the last day of non-wrestling I think I had in a week, because it was Raw, it was NXT, it was AEW, it was AEW TNA, it was SmackDown and TNA, it was Saturday Night's Main Event, it was AEW and NXT, and it was Raw. Oh my gosh, it's unreal how saturated the market is with just those companies. Let alone, the smaller companies like NWA, which recently had the Crockett Cup that we didn't talk about because I think Jim Crockett's been dead for a while. So why talk about
it? Are you sure? Okay.
Too soon?
I don't know.
Speaking of too soon, this was too soon. This match right here with that guy, that John C. Reilly looking motherfucker, winning that goddamn motherfucking match, Hangman Page.
I mean, you don't talk to Steve Brule.
Jesus.
Your Christ. Anger is clouding your camera.
I mean, he's got a point.
There's no doubt. I definitely have angry internet right now because that motherfucker won this match. Okay, they're gonna do the main event in Texas. Tony Khan likes to suck hometown dick, so here we go. It looks like Paige is gonna win in Texas, but at the same time, fuck this, fuck Hangman Page, fuck Will Ospreay for fucking allowing this shit to happen and thinking, we're better than anyone in the WWE, and then I'm gonna go out here, I'm gonna wrestle a match, I'm loose to that motherfucker. Jesus Christ.
What kind of accent is that?
A fucking Will Ospreay fucking accent, because it's horrible, just like him. God damn it. I hate these mother two. Fuck. So, Steve, why was it so good?
Well, I think that it was largely because of the inverse of everything that you just mentioned. Legitimately, though, it was a very, very fitting end to the tournament. If I would have put money down, if I would have done the whole DraftKings thing, I would have been under the complete assumption that Will Ospreay was winning this match and that he was going on to All In Texas, where he would win the world championship. But clearly that was not the case. The thing is, when I watched the show live, obviously I was glued to the screen the entire time for this match. I have seen people who have been very critical of AEW actually give this match, close to, and star ratings are completely subjective, but for those people that tend to, talk a little bit of shit about AEW, I have seen a lot of sentiment of this being a great match. So I'm sorry that you weren't able to share in the appreciation of Ospreay and Hangman. I'm interested to see what they're going to do with Ospreay, though, at All In. Arguably, he's your top babyface in the entire promotion. Realistically, you had him out running media. And, you know, I'm sure everybody out there has heard the sound bites. So I was completely under the assumption he was winning this shit. And then when he didn't, it threw me for a loop. I'm not going to lie. I got. So good job on that.
This is a double loss for the company. You don't win with Ospreay, because if you put Ospreay in there, he's going to get overrun by the Death Riders and invariably lose, unless he can pull a faction together that would sit with him ringside, which they haven't set up anything like that. So that's problem number one. Hangman Adam Page has history with Moxley, so you can reference the matches they had before where there was that massive clothesline and the concussion. You can reference that. So there is, you know, providence there. The other thing is, if you really wanted to babyface him up, you could pull out of the woodwork the Dark Order and have
Christ.
The Dark.
Oh, fuck.
What are you saying?
Do not fucking say shit like that on the show. People fucking listen to this shit over there. Please. Oh, for fuck's sake. Oh,
hey,
no.
You don't want John Hungy coming out there? And
no. No Johnny Hungy or Alex Reynolds at All In, please.
Okay, no, all right. So we'll do Evil Uno and plus one. I think he's like he's a teenager now. So yeah, or maybe yeah, he's too, zero.
Too,
I don't.
Too bad. Too bad he likes the other place a little better.
Well, hey, you know. So there you go. But they could do that. That would be a safety to have those three come in there like, you know, stooges out of Roadhouse. And just run in there, eat a few punches, and be just enough of a distraction. My only concern with Hangman Adam Page winning, yes, huge pop, yeah, you win. He's a cowboy in Texas, great. That will be the shortest title reign afterwards because there's nothing you can do with him. There's no real redemption story. I don't see anything that you could do with him. I don't care for him as a champion.
More viewers, that's fine.
I want if it's Ospreay and Ospreay found some way to win, Ospreay is entertaining. Ospreay would be entertaining, and Ospreay can wrestle more than just doing punches and clotheslines.
I could do blackity flippity floppy.
All right. But this is I think it was a loser. They backed themselves into a corner going this route. They backed themselves into a corner.
It was obvious when the brackets were released that this was going to be the tournament final, though, which obviously, you know, that plays into the whole predictability thing with the AEW.
I didn't know that.
Which we saw up and down that show, but Double or Nothing on a whole completely overachieved in spite of all of the, you know, this person can't win this match because insert fantasy booking scenario here. If I had it to do all over again, I was about this close to getting a ticket and just going there on completely impromptu basis. To be honest, I wish I would have, because it was only about a four and a half hour drive. So, which I would have.
Steve. You keep your gas, buddy. Keep your gas. You need it nowadays. Yeah. Okay, so. The other fucking tournament match with that little fucking piece of fucking self-indulgent plot juice.
Hold on. Let me guess where he's going with this one. Because we had the preamble before we started about Hangman. Let me think. Mercedes?
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Yeah. Yeah.
Mercedes Hogan.
Fucking yeah. Okay. Now, besides Mercedes and Hangman winning, let me ask you this. When the matches start, when the guys come out, when people go to the ring, did you, I don't know who the fuck was winning? Because both those fucking pieces of shit wore the fucking Owen Hart colors. What the fuck was that shit?
Yeah.
Oh, I don't know. Let's just fucking script it right here by wearing the goddamn colors of Owen. And then, of course, the other person's not. You know, it's like, if you're going to do that, have both wrestlers in the fucking colors. At least have one in fucking yellow and black and one in pink and black. All right? Jesus Christ. Fuck.
Should have came out with Oakley glasses too.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, and fucking slammies in each hand, for God's sakes. Fuck.
Hey, that is your CEO.
Yeah, why couldn't she fucking descend from the fucking ceiling?
Oh.
Hey,
like Sting in AEW. Sting. Okay, right. I'm not talking about Owen.
All right. Thanks for the clarification.
Yeah.
Legitimately, though, I this just goes to show and continues to prove the point that take away the creative control. If you just look at the match as a whole, as far as being entertaining, this was a great way to kick off this show. It was very entertaining. And Mercedes, she's so polarizing. It's absolutely hilarious. I'm not the biggest fan of Mercedes Moné. I have not been, even when she was in WWE with the Sasha Banks run, but she has done in ring a lot of great work. I'd say the last 8 months to a year.
Specifically. I have a question. Do you, and this is for Matt, do you hate her or do you recognize her as a heat magnet?
Oh no, I purely hate her. You know what? Listen, as much as I say, like, you know, all these different people that maybe I don't enjoy for whatever reason, this or that. I looked at Sasha Banks. Sasha Banks was someone in NXT who showed promise. And then as she started moving up the ranks, when you see a fucking egotist fucking start to kick in like that, that's the thing that got me about her. If you're going,
which is why her feuds with Charlotte Flair were great, because it was the same person.
But we got beyond that, right? We got to the point where you're throwing fucking temper tantrums in a hallway after a fucking WrestleMania. That to me is just fucking ridiculous. It's garbage. And then you get fucking cast in a fucking show, and now you think you're a goddamn movie star, even though she hasn't done goddamn jack shit since, right? And then she thinks she's so fucking big when this little fucking twerp decides to throw her the fucking money. It's like, you haven't earned this shit to fucking call yourself. She calls herself the fucking Beyonce of wrestling. And it's like, you know what? Beyonce has fucking talent. She can back it up. She can sell out a stadium. If you put Mercedes Moné and someone in a building by themselves, the only match on the card, that bitch ain't selling tickets.
Yeah, she would. That. She would.
I don't know about that.
She would. She is.
She's not selling out a fucking house.
She's wrestling famous. She's not a household. But she's not a household name.
But she's not selling out a fucking house. That's what I'm saying. The fact of the matter is, that's the same thing with Hangman Page, right? Hangman Page, you're not going to fucking All In to see him win that championship unless you fucking love.
Well, but this is the problem with All In. But this is the problem with All In, is that there's really nobody. There's nobody on there where I'm like, I can't wait for the outcome of this match. I mean, it's a mediocre card, in my opinion. Kenny Omega match, don't care. This match, I don't care about a lot of them. I really don't.
Two matches announced.
Oh, yeah, I'm sorry.
There have been two matches announced. But I don't know, man. The thing is,
but those are supposed to be your most important matches, and they're not that important.
If you look at it from a business standpoint, realistically, what is going to sell the most tickets? Toni Storm versus Mercedes Moné makes sense in that respect. Personally, I would have gone with Athena coming out, costing Mercedes the match. And then that way you could do for the Ring of Honor title and still kind of play up this shit. Because, again, Athena is the Ring of Honor women's champion. You could have her versus Mercedes with a belt on the line,
there's got to be some reason why Athena's been relegated to that brand, not to be on the main roster.
It's ridiculous.
It's because she's black. Anyway,
it's fucking ridiculous. No, especially when you got Bandido on the fucking the pre-show involved in a match. The Ring of Honor World Champion for the men's side is on the fucking pay-per-view. Yet Athena can't. Okay, so they brought her in for one night to do the job to Mercedes and to be never seen again.
Here's my question. Here's my question. Legitimate. If you were to interview her, she's sitting here right now. What would you think she would say as to why she's not on Wednesday nights or Saturday nights? What's the reason? What would she say?
I receive her paycheck regardless. But the honest answer is that so Athena has been used to develop people. Okay. That's it.
No, you make ego. It seem like she's the Bailey of AEW.
Well, she's the exact opposite of Mercedes Motuat. You know, that's the thing. The thing is that Athena gets it. She fucking helps these kids. She develops them.
Oh, yeah.
She wrestled fucking Billy Starks and made Billy Starks look like $1 million, made her better in the ring. Yeah. But Motuat goes ahead and just fucking, I'm going to wrestle you and then beat you and make you look like shit. That's the fucking problem with the fucking Jesus egos Christ. In this company.
Motuat.
Okay, so speaking of egos in this company, this fucking fiasco. Okay, first off, and my biggest pet peeve with matches like this is if you're going to do shit like this and you don't fucking pin the person for the end of the match, then don't do shit like this. It's the high spot of the fucking thing. End the match there. Fucking pin them there. That's it.
That took him out of the match entirely. That took him out of the match entirely. So I don't know if it was Nick or Matt that got driven through the explosive table, which, by the way, was a pretty cool callback to, you know, hey, we can do exploding shit now and it actually works, as opposed to, you know, setting off a firecracker or something. But no, and then you got Swerve picking up the win. Swerve, who was rocking that Predator cosplay, which was dope. The Predator cosplay was dope. And he's got new shoes that are dropping at Champ Sports on Wednesday. So, of course, they're what are involved in the deciding fall. Yes, they had thumbtacks mounted to the bottom of them.
Steve, did you say he's got new shoes?
Yeah.
And was the first recipient of the Answer 3 Swerves, one Big E from
exactly. Swerves? Wow. Absolutely, dude. Absolutely. Give credit where credit is due. Big E is a great inspiration, man. And those
shoes are pretty fucking sweet, by the way.
I'm not wearing those goddamn things, you idiot.
So, but yeah, I mean, there you go. You get some cross promotion with the sneakers, and you know, I was completely fine with this. I was not fine with them starting the match with the Young Bucks coming out as the founding fathers to like a Revolutionary War marching band, fucking. The drum beat was terrible. Why that was on there for even 2 minutes. And then, of course, they followed up with, I'm so excited because Tony has to get his usage out of the royalties that he paid for that shit. Because keep in mind, that was going to be the Dynamite theme. But there was such major outcry on the internet that was ended after one show. But Tony bought the rights for a year. So he's got to use his fucking, he's got to use that shit.
Well,
but yes, that so led wait. To the introduction of bodies, which was perfect.
No, I disagree. I think he fucked up. He should have played bodies after the fucking patriotic jerk-offs fucking jerked their fucking forefather founder trees off. And he should have played bodies then. And then he should have played I'm So Excited for the next 25 minutes. And then this way, it would have covered the whole year. It would have been full usage. They would never have to play it again. He'd got his fucking money out of it. That would have been it. Plus, it would have been fucking awesome to see fucking Omega put one of those fucking jackasses through that table and just to have, I'm so excited. And then it ends. You know, that's it. That's
the Can we just go back to the final countdown for 45 minutes straight?
Yeah, no. No,
that was not dope to see live.
That was
Daniel Bryan's funeral.
Oh my god!
Come on! You can see the cast
going out. Ascended by Mercedes Mocunt.
Mercedes Motuat.
Motuat. I'm sorry.
Motuat. Yes. Okay. So here's my problem with this match.
But first, I like the cunt EO would
This is the CEO, cunt executive officer. Okay, so here's my problem. First off, this should have been the last fucking match. If you're going to do this goddamn fucking thing, always make it the last match. Who fucking cares that your main event was a number one contendership? It wasn't even fucking for the title. God damn you. Number two, if you're going to do this match, please, for the love of God, do not do a fucking stretcher match, number three on the card, where you're going to use scissors and fucking make him bleed like a goddamn stuck motherfucking pig. It fucking ruins the fucking show. I'm sorry. You're not fucking learning that bloodbaths, do it once in a fucking show. Number two, if you're going to do a goddamn stretcher match, build the fucking match.
Yeah, that came out of nowhere. Kind of.
So, right? I actually did do a little bit of research, and I got to give some props to the Solomon Monster, Jason Solomon. He's a pro wrestling commentator on the internet, on YouTube as well. He made a great point. This was a bit of a tribute to Sabu, and the reason why I say that is because Tony Khan saw a stretcher match at the ECW Arena. RVD versus Sabu in a stretcher match. And obviously there's the direct tie-in on this. You even had Mark Briscoe go for the triple jump, or at least start to, did the Sabu pose and that kind of thing. So it was a veiled Sabu reference, which is pretty cool. Honestly.
Yeah. Big fucking,
but deal. Yes, I agree. I agree dynamite. With what you're saying.
Goddamn yeah. Dynamite. That's fine. Yeah. And in fact, put it on Dynamite and build it as a fucking tribute to Sabu, and why these two people would do a tribute to Sabu. Yeah. It makes some fucking sense of it. That's all I ask.
Wait a minute. It's been for the last 3 years, you've been complaining about AEW. Are you ever surprised when they do something that is completely non sequitur? That show should be called Non Sequitur Wrestling. And today, we introduce a bloody stretcher match. We have not built up to this, and we brought it on at the very last minute. The men will have scissors, because that's what children play with.
And there will be a toothless man. Hold on. Rob, you said the magic word. God damn it. If anyone's going to use goddamn scissors in a match, it should be those motherfucking guns, because they're the ones who do the scissor me daddy shit. Fuck, or whoever it is. Who is it? The fucking Private Party, or who is it?
The Acclaimed.
The Acclaimed.
The Acclaimed. Top of the game, and you bet you know our name.
Shit.
And, yep. Oh, right. By the way, I know we've already pivoted, and we've already left talking about Anarchy in the Arena, but you mentioned kids watching, and I saw the biggest amount of online backlash for the staple gun spot. Because God forbid there might be children watching this show. And yes, this did include Swerve taking a staple shoot to the tongue. That shit stayed in there for the rest of the match, and he showed it off after the match. Obviously, that was the biggest point of online discourse during this entire fucking show. But yes, why have a stretcher match earlier on in the show? It does diminish the impact of seeing so much graphic violence. Despite everybody in the match working their asses off, Michaels, I know you hate her, but Willow Nightingale, with the earlobe, with the padlock through it. I mean, she mixed it up with Marina Shafir. Yeah.
I don't know. So did Kenny Omega. So I don't know.
Yeah.
Big deal. The really quick, that staple thing. Who fucking cares? I just saw it 4 weeks ago in person, live. And it got
knocked out with a chair to the stapled door.
Now, if he would have stapled one of Swerve's new shoes to his tongue, that would have been marketing genius.
And don't a reason know how you would do quite it. Do that, but or strangle him with the laces. You could maybe strangle him with the laces.
Hey, speaking of strangling with the laces, I don't know. Rob, how was your Friday night? Yeah. No. That's what she said. Okay, so speaking of the pay-per-views the same day, look at this motherfucker. Trick Williams has the fucking TNA title. You know,
they're acting like WWE is acting like this is the first time this has ever happened. I'm like, no, it's not. You can have it, I suppose.
Well, it's the first time it's ever happened on WWE television that they, you know, have done something like that. And it's the first time that TNA is actually benefiting from someone else having the championship, because there's probably more eyes who know who that guy is than, you know, the other guy. You know,
well, you have Christian, who everybody knows who Christian was when he fucking got it.
Yeah, but Christian was in TNA when he got it. He won it from that other guy,
Kenny Omega.
No. Kenny King's our guy. He was a janitor, I believe. It was the janitor. Cleaner. That's what he was.
For fuck's sake.
You know what? Regardless of who did it first or who did it best or who, you know, did whatever, the fact of the matter is that this breaks down the door in terms of now you can possibly see the other thing happen. And that is a WWE title going on a TNA wrestler. That's the important thing here,
which honestly needs to happen. That does need to happen.
Will they do it? Because when AEW had this opportunity, they didn't.
Well, they fucking didn't do anything. They blew that.
They gave nothing. Yeah, AEW gave TNA nothing.
They blew it like Kenny and a Japanese boy.
Wow.
Come on, young boy humor. Come on, Motuat. Now, okay, so speaking of AEW, I found this hysterical. This idiot, whoever this guy posted this shit, Ricky Stance left AEW to not even get a match at WWE NXT Battleground. Ricky Stance has not wrestled on WWE NXT TV since 29th of April. A whole month since WWE gave him a token title to annoy AEW is not really paying off now when he can't get booked. All right, first off, he's on TV.
Can't get booked.
Yeah. If you're on TV, you've been booked. I mean, that's right,
exactly
what booking is. Number two, as I remember it, Ricky Starks went to catering one day and never came back in AEW.
Pretty much.
Right?
He was in that tag team with Big Bill and then nothing.
Nothing. Yeah. Number three, they didn't force it onto this pay-per-view like some other companies would make it a fucking 6-hour pay-per-view instead of just doing a tight two and a half. Right. So this is going to be your big fucking match on Tuesday when Ethan Page goes against him for the title. Okay. So that's the stuff that I find absurd, is when AEW fans and again, WWE fans, you know, did the same thing when, you know, AEW was, you know, getting the hot product stuff. You know, that was the shots, you know, going back and forth. But this just makes no sense to just fucking attack someone who obviously is getting TV time. And here's the other thing. What's his health like? This guy is an injury-prone guy, right? He's gotten injuries before. Why fucking use him every fucking week? Use him in the capacity and keep him healthy. That's cool, you know? So that's just a little random. Just makes me pissed off. But this was awesome. Here we go. Seeing some of the AAA women? Come on, man. This is actually kind of shaping up to be a very interesting show, because apparently it's on YouTube through AAA in both Spanish and English. That means that if you don't subscribe to Peacock, you can still watch it, which is great. Yeah, which is great. So it's not just a bump to let's get extra subscribers. And it looks like they actually might be leaning towards them tagging with Stephanie in a triple, you know, a three woman tag against. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So, yeah. And then we got, what was the El Vikingo,
yep.
versus Chad fucking Gable.
Come yes. on, bro. Dude. I really want to see
Americano.
That.
Or they think that's going to be too racist to put El Grande Americano there. I mean,
I don't know about racist, but keep in mind, how should we say this? Mexican wrestling fans tend to be a little bit more aggressive than American wrestling fans. I don't think Chad Gable's best interest would be to don the mask and be El Grande Americano at a show in Mexico.
He'll get El Shivo'd.
He might not come back.
Yeah. Yeah, that's, you know, it's interesting too. Now, if you're smart, like, I think that this is the perfect moment that when Gable is wrestling in this match against Vikingo, that we see Americano come in yes. and help Gable.
Yep. And have it be like somebody completely non his body type. Like, yeah, have, sure. it be, have, be, have it be one of the fucking Creed brothers or some shit.
Yeah.
Yeah,
sure.
So, but yes, and
then they can go back to it and say, "You see, there's a yeah, there he is. We told
exactly.
you. We told fucking, you."
I'm telling you though, Chad Gable versus Hijo del Vikingo will be fucking awesome, and I'm really curious as to what WWE tribalist fans will say about Vikingo now that he's on the good guy side, because I heard so much shit about. Oh my God, why is he doing so many flippy dippy doo bullshit? Now he's gonna be you know, one of the guys. So we gotta support the guys, right?
The honest answer for me is the same thing with Pentagon and Phoenix, right? If it's random shit, it's the same thing with Ospreay. This is one of the reasons I don't like Ospreay. He does this shit, but it doesn't make sense on why he's doing this shit. It's cool, great, big deal, but tell the fucking story. What's the storyline? What's going in? What's not? And that's going to be the thing with the AAA shit. As long as you're building the stories, and to me, this pay-per-view or this, you know, this whatever you're going to call it, to me, When Worlds Collide is not necessarily my thing, right? Because I am about stories and stuff. So for me, it's about getting more familiar with some of the talent that I don't know outside of the names like Vikingo. So otherwise, you know, I think that really it is a step forward to kind of integrate, right? And it's kind of, you know, this is what's going to be style-wise with the WWE and how it's going to go. Speaking of integrating... Look at this. Integrate that motherfucker into this fucking trio now. Jesus Christ, Bronson fucking Reed. I mean, oh, look at that motherfucker. Oh,
that's a great sight to see.
Isn't it?
Isn't yeah. it
fucking awesome?
Punk just getting squashed by Bronson Reed. Yeah. It's glorious.
Yeah. You know, there were a lot of people speculating this person needs to go there, that person needs to go with them, whatever. Not in my wild dreams did I think that you already had a monster. Let's bring in a second fucking monster. And let's play it off. Now, I know, Rob, you're upset that they didn't get into details about why Bronson Reed, who had this problem with Seth Rollins, et cetera, et cetera. You know, the honest answer is, hey, man.
It's odd. It is odd to me. And I thought they would get into that, have him cut a quick promo, have somebody bring up the elephant in the room that this guy tried to destroy Seth Rollins' rib cage 6 months ago. That was what made Bronson Reed.
Rob, did you just call Bronson Reed an elephant in the room?
Yes.
Fuck, dude.
Big fat fucking elephant.
Add Bronson Reed to the list of dudes that I can't wait to see whoop your ass.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ, Rob.
And realistically, all that it would take is literally a line from Rollins saying, I know how much of a badass this guy is. He tried to kill me 6 months ago. Done. So why not bring him into the fold? Done.
Now, that's now all hold on. Now, did you see Raw tonight?
No.
I watched it. I hope I didn't miss it, but I don't, you know, I don't think I caught it, and I don't and usually, you know, Cole never lets you down. Michael Cole will repeat something like 90 goddamn times. So yeah, no, it didn't seem that obvious. Is he a good choice outside of that? Let's say that storyline never happened. Yeah, sure.
Hell yes.
Yeah, sure.
Hell why not? Yes.
Why not?
Dude, the knock on Bronson Reed has always been his mic work. So why not give him the greatest mic working manager
all
in
of
the
those
business?
Politicians, except for The Rock, are terrible on the fucking mic. Every last goddamn one of them, except for The Rock and maybe Samoa Joe. That's it. The rest of them are fucking awful.
Hey, their stats just didn't seem to go into charisma. They went into other stats. I mean, what more
constitution.
Can you do?
constitution, strength. Samoa Joe, here. Hold on. Add some agility. A little agility there.
Yeah, you know, it's going to be interesting to see where they go with this. Also, we got Cody Rhodes back. Kudos to probably the best shirt in the history of the business with the Ron Cena fucking shirt. R-Truth doing the fucking Cena salute on that. So it's so weird because you're so used to that Cena image, all right? And Cena is white as a ghost, all right? Obviously, you can't see him, right? So
there you go.
When he came out in that shirt at first, it like my mind's just going, oh my God, it's a fucking racist shirt. Because it looks like John Cena in blackface. Seriously, because that's what hits you. No, it's because you're not used to seeing anything else but that image of John.
I want that fucking shirt. I don't give a damn. It's so
absolutely
funny.
Man, it's fucking awesome. It is a fucking great shirt. It just took that second to absorb to go, wait, that's fucking truth on the shirt. Like, I get it now.
I got that right away because it's, you know, it's he thinks he's Cena.
Half of you did. I get it. Okay. That's fine. But the other half,
just because you're bald doesn't mean you can say the C word. Now, R-Truth is the best. Ron Killings is the best utility player that you could ever hope to have in professional wrestling. You put him somewhere and he's just really gold. Plus, he's like 53 years old, taking like ridiculous bumps. I would love to see him with a singles title, a mid one, because he deserves something and not that 24/7 bullshit. He deserves a title. But that said, he did what he needed to do, where Cena pumped it on the on that, smacking him in the face with the belt that first time. So he gave you exactly what you need. They're doing the, you know, the Darth Vader thing. Oh, I sense some good in you, Father. They're going down that road. Who knows when they'll pull the trigger on it, and you get Cody Rhodes back, and then Cody Rhodes can explain why he bitched out.
Yeah.
Cause he bitched out.
That's where we're going. And, you know, I think it's going to be, you know, again, it's a slow build. The cool thing out of this is that we're getting Cody and Uso against fucking Logan Paul and John Cena. You know, put those two massive numbers together in terms of
hold on, my sleep apnea is kicking in. I just wait a minute. What?
Say what you will. Logan Paul has a huge fan base that is built in that will follow him to the ends of the earth with
him. No. It's nothing to do with him. It's a filler match.
Oh yeah, absolutely. But realistically though, it shouldn't take any of the shine off of the Money in the Bank matches. I've always had, I don't want to say a problem, but whenever you have a world championship match on the same show as a Money in the Bank, if they don't factor into one another, So meaning like if the Money in the Bank winner doesn't cash in that same night, I think that it puts a little bit of a diminishing factor on those Money in the Bank matches. So in a way, I'm actually okay with it not being a championship match or anything like that. Let the men's Money in the Bank winner be the last image that you see from the show. I have no problem with that.
Yeah. Mm. It would be interesting. Speaking of last images on the show, yes. Monday night, the birthday tribute to Bray Wyatt. It's funny because there were so many people online. First off, who didn't know that Bo Dallas was hurt, which where have they been? Well, guy just got cleared, guys. Easy. Then the next part of it was, boy, I hope they don't misuse him again. And it's like, okay, the guy was hurt. It's like, it's not misuse when he can't physically compete.
Now, I have said this, though. You know, that didn't mean that the others could have made like pop-ups here and there and done some dark shit to you know, just keep a little bit of steam in that balloon or hot air in that balloon. They could have carried it a little longer. That's my opinion on it.
But the problem is that the whole thing revolves around the idea of Howdy, right? And Bray, right?
So you just show the rocking chair. You just have the rocking chair and you go, oh, wait. Where is he? And he doesn't need to be there.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Is that a goddamn rocking chair? God damn. Watch out, everybody. It's the rocking chair. It's the rocking chair.
You do the rocking chair, and then they come down to the ramp, and they go, we're going to dispense our dark justice even without our leader. He doesn't need to be here. And then when he shows up, he just shows up, and you just go, oh, fuck, he's here. He's back. You know, what have you been doing while I was gone? I've been beating the shit out of people. You go to Gacy, I was beating the shit out of people. You go to any of them. And that would have, I think that would have worked. And there was a place for them, even without him there. You still could have thrown them into matches without taking out the entire crew. And they still would have looked just as badass. It still would have worked. You cut out the lights and there's, you know, Nikki Cross and she's a psycho with the face and you have her, you know, you go against Alexa Bliss. You know, hey, fuck you, Alexa Bliss. I'm the dark bitch of the night. Whatever.
Okay. Well, I'm glad.
Psycho with the face.
Yeah. There you go. Well, you know,
and your writing skills are just amazing.
Dark bitch of the night.
Mercedes Motwat. Mercedes, you've been saying Mercedes Motwat for a half an hour today.
Yeah.
Dark bitch of the night is way more creative than Mercedes Motwat.
Dark bitch of the night. Hashtag DBGOTN.
Dark bitch of the night, you know? Imagine Michael Cole having to say that. Okay. Well, I'm not going to say it. The dark you-know-what of the night. Damn it, say it, Cole! Say it! She's a bitch! Well, I don't want to say it. She's a bitch!
You actually had to make that up. Motwat is actual just fact. So hey Johnny, what do you want for dinner? Motwat?
Oh Lord.
Motwat? Motwat. So speaking of the dark bitch of the night, so we had this little controversy about people on the internet thinking that Alexa Bliss shouldn't have gotten a spot in the Money in the Bank because she's an old lady. Who let the old lady back in the game? Alexa Bliss is actually 33. Chelsea is 34 and Misha is 36. So the youngest woman in the match did win. Chelsea stood up and says, I'm older than her.
Hold on, let's call out this piece of crap, Ghost of Madness.
Yeah, Ghost of Madness apparently doesn't like old 33-year-old ladies. Which if that's an old lady, holy shit, man. Get me to the nursing home and call me doctor because I want to look and work on that. Lexi referring to Tiffany, who kind of referred to her as vintage, as Lexi said, good. Funny being called vintage by the cheap imitation. So Alexa Bliss, again, it's kind of cool how they're embracing some of this shit. You had that with Bliss, you know, in the Age, and then Stratton saying that this week. And then you also had the things with Logan Paul and, you know, when Uso and Cena were talking and talking about the idea that, you know, Logan Paul's just a YouTuber type of thing. And because people were ragging on that shit. So they're starting to incorporate that type of shit into everything, which is, you know, it's a great way to go. Yeah. So, all right. And really quick shout out to Zoe Stark. She said, "While the love and support means more to me than you'll ever know, what hurts more than my knee is knowing I won't be able to perform for all of you for a while. I love what I do. I'm blessed to do this. As the saying goes, the comeback is greater than the setback. Love you guys." Starkmore, hashtag Starkmarks. Yeah, it was a bad injury. But again, people on the internet just complaining about the fact that she didn't do the missile drop kick right.
Which you screwed up the move. You messed up the move.
Well, so actually,
you didn't do it right. Your leg's not supposed to bend that way.
No shit.
Yeah, I was. So, you know,
the other two just went like this.
You gotta love the fucking IWC, man. Regardless of what tribe they subscribe to, dude, IWC is just.
Hold on, I'm 250 pounds, 5'3", and that's not how you would do that move. I just wanted you to know that. It's just, you know, it's not how you would do the move. I can't make it through the ring ropes, but that's not how you do that move.
Yeah. Oh man. Okay. So, WrestleMania 42 in New Orleans. Oh, not so quick.
JK. Welcome 42. Home.
Yeah, not in New Orleans now. The word making rounds locally in Las Vegas this afternoon is WWE is finalizing WrestleMania 42 to be held once again in Las Vegas at Allegiant Stadium next year. Which of course was reported by PWI. The honest answer is we're not exactly sure yet. Dave also reported that things that might be, you know, hold up are a concert already booked there during those days and the convention center space. But most likely, if they are, you know, serious about bringing it back, it's coming back because the city definitely was talking about this. The talks were going on during that week because they knocked the socks off of WWE and vice versa. The city makes so much fucking money.
Now, the one thing I will say, and Daryl would probably agree if he were here, do not rush to buy tickets to this fucking thing.
No shit.
I paid $2,500 and I was at the Modelo Lounge. One of my buddies in the comedy scene paid $800 a day because he got his tickets at the last bleeding minute. And I felt like an idiot. Was it a great event? Did I like my seats? He got closer to me and spent less. He got closer to the ring and spent less money.
Yeah.
And I'm sitting here going, Jesus Christ almighty. I spent a lot of money. And Daryl spent even more, and there were seats available by ringside or near ringside, you know, the day prior. I will say that they're gouging. They're gouging.
Well, they have every right to. And in fact,
capitalism, bro.
Right. And with Daryl's tickets, you know that he did get a.
No, this is now.
DJ, I'm back in the booth so fine. White fuzzy slippers on the low key rhyme. Spin around.
Ah, come on.
Oh, come man. On. All right. So
I can definitely attest to that. We got our tickets literally, the day, 2 days before the show. And ended up paying, we paid like $1,100. We were on the floor, on the ramp, basically at the end of a row. So we could actually stand up to see over the, you know, the 20-ish rows that we were
good
back.
Seats. You got good seats, yeah. And you didn't fucking pay an arm and a leg.
Yeah.
The only thing I will say is with that mid area behind the hard camera, you get your own little private experience, yes. So to speak. So yes. That was, I'm not going to like that, but I didn't know that going in that I was going to get that.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
But it was nice.
Dude, whenever I go to a show, I try to get on the same side as the hard cam, just because it literally they're acting for the hard cam. So they're acting to you. Yeah. So you see everything. Those are the best seats in the entire place. Yeah.
Yeah. It was good, but somebody spent way the fuck less.
Well,
you know,
but you know,
oh yeah.
New Orleans, yeah. WWE Las Vegas. What a meme. Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see what happens. So, you know, let's, you know, just kind of hang in there. And, again, if it comes here, I think that's great. So
Hell yeah,
what happens. Steve, the question is, where are the missing 30 minutes of AEW Collision from 2 weeks ago?
Well, you know, it's pretty crazy. You can't tell me that our boy Dwayne didn't make a phone call, because what happened? They ended that shit on Max. But if you go back and you watch TBS or TNT, whichever network it was on, what fucking did it cut to? Oh, it cut to one of Dwayne's movies. Strange.
I made a call to Ari and I said, Ari, I want you to put the Tooth Fairy on.
And out of all the movies, the Tooth Fairy franchise, of course, is the one that started the bad blood between The Rock and Vin Diesel, because which one is the better Tooth Fairy is the question.
Nobody's a bigger fairy than The Rock.
I don't know.
The Rock is the people's fairy.
Well, you know, the question is he a bigger fairy, or is he just not enough motwat for
The Rock this? Likes going into children's rooms in the middle of the night to find their loose parts.
Holy shit. Steve, you know, AEW, they had a pay-per-view and things are going on, and what's your over-under for this week, and let's get away for the children's loose parts.
Yeah, no shit. So I think that we can pretty much say Double or Nothing over-exceeded, but AEW All In is about 40 days away, and we all know what happens with AEW whenever they have these long kind of breaks between big shows. Now, next, what was it? June 2nd, Matt Michaels, I know you're going to love this one. They got a 4-hour block. So they're going to be doing from 8 to midnight on TBS on Wednesday night. That obviously because of the that's NHL playoffs.
That's June 4th then.
June. And then the very next week, they're doing it again. So, they're piloting 4-hour blocks of programming.
Oh, boy.
But this is where it kind of ties in with the over-under. I can safely say that you will see under one match created for their supposed biggest show of the year, All In, that has not already been announced. So we won't get any other match announcement for All In this week. Throw the house on it.
Yummy.
Which means obviously now they're going to just to fucking spite me. So
that means an hour of Mercedes Motwat.
Well, if it was her call, it'd be 4 hours of Mercedes Motwat. So, you know,
would that necessarily be a bad thing?
Yes. Yes, it would, Steve. Very bad. It would be really sucky. It would be one of the worst things in the history of fucking television.
You're welcome to come to my house in Las Vegas. Give me 4 hours of Meteora.
Yeah. No shit. Four hours of Motwat.
Awesome. Yeah.
Sign me up.
Yeah. I'm okay with that. You're single. I'm ready to mingle. And I'm not like The Rock. So.
Really quick, guys. This was really interesting. This is a shot of WWE wrestlers who were former Olympians.
That's awesome.
Of course, Jeff Cobb now. Kurt Angle, Ronda Rousey.
Don't dead name him. JC Mateo.
Oh, yeah. JC
Mateo. Still all close. Right. Okay. Honestly, I saw someone post about a name that was supposed to, you know, have been, which is a callback to his name in Lucha Underground, right?
Yes. Yeah.
Which was, you know, funny to see and whatever. I actually know some of the names that were on the list.
Much worse.
Oh my God.
Oh, so what were they going to call him?
I can't say. But
wait.
Were they on par with like Frost McKnife or whatever the fuck?
Yes.
Oh my God.
Yes. I can't say the actual names because again, it's company, you know.
That's, so worse that's than JC Mateo.
Yes. Yes.
Can't give away your source, Fez.
Gable Stevenson, Jack Cable, Mark Henry, Bad News Brown, which is interesting. I didn't know he was part of Canadia's team.
Canadia's.
Yep.
Canada.
Yeah. Mad Dog.
You're not even a real country anyway.
Right. Well, yes.
We'll get to that in a minute.
Carl Cox. Tyra May Steele, who was just on LFG and now has the NXT contract. And Wim Ruska, which I'm assuming is probably a guy who is Russian.
I can't. Who is that guy in the corner? I couldn't in the bottom left corner on that picture.
That's JC Mateo.
No, that's bottom left. Bottom left is that Gable right Stevenson?
The one biting the metal.
Yeah, the one biting.
Yeah, that's Gable Stevenson.
That's Gable. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, not to be confused with the guy who is second to the right, which is Chad Gable. That's Gable Stevenson, who is, not the other guy.
Okay.
Yeah. There you go. All right. Time to go to our presidential pontifications from the President of the United States of America, Donald Trump.
I'm so glad that you brought up Canada on this wonderful day where we mourn the loss of our 51st state that never was because of some very evil maple syrup eating pieces of shit. So sad. So very sad. But I also want to give a big shout out. Is that what the kids say? They call it a shout out. Okay. Not like the shots that I was getting. Those are some pretty bad shots. Believe me, those are some pretty bad shots. We wouldn't be here. But we wanted to talk about Tiffy Time. We like blonde and blue eyes, right? We love blonde and blue eyes. And she called out these two old hags, these two, Charlotte Flair and who is the other one with the doll? She's still playing with dolls, but she's 50 years old. And she's
Piper Niven, Dad? Because if it's Piper Niven, I'd really love to see Piper Niven.
Shut up. I don't know which one of my kids you are, but it's time for El Deportivo to the bald one. So sad. Say God is calling. You don't even have to shave his head. He's ready to go. Look at him. He's ready. He's already got, he's bald. And he's probably got MS-13 tattoos, okay? Get him out of here. I'm talking about Alexa Bliss. There's no bliss in her. She's old. The milk's gone dry. And they tell me she had a kid. Once you have a kid, that's it. It's destroyed down there. it's going to look like ground zero down there. I'm sure they don't make enough tattoo ink to cover it up, whatever happened. Okay. What do you know what they call that? They call that C Nation. You don't want to see that. Believe me. Believe me. Okay. Believe me. All right. It's not bliss down there. Not bliss. And thank God for Tiffany Stratton. No kids. No. If it's tight, it's right. If it's tight, it's right. And she called Charlotte Flair. Charlotte Flair is like the old gray mare. She broke her leg. It's time to take her out back and shoot her. Okay. Old yellow her ass. Got to old yellow her. Okay. I don't know what's older, her or her dad. It's time for her to do her retirement.
Are you talking about old yeller ass? Are you talking about Meech?
Get him out of here. Get him out of here. Die. No more. Excuse me. Your president's talking. Your president's talking. And we will make Canada great again and make it one of our 51st states. We're going to make it great again. And then we're going to get Chelsea Green and give her American citizenship and dye her hair blonde again and call her Laurel Van Trump. That's going to be her new name, Laurel Van Trump. Okay, Mr. Cardona. Sorry. Sorry. Woo, woo, woo. That, you're going to be crying like that when we send your ass back to Long Island. Okay. Back to Long Island. You'll be cleaning up scumbags. You'll be cleaning up Coney Island whitefish at Nassau Coliseum because that's what you're good for. Okay, Mr. President,
breaking news. This just came in. Bruce Springsteen apparently is friends with Diamond Dallas Page and the late Bam Bam Bigelow.
The late Bruce Springsteen, okay? The late Bruce Springsteen. He's going to get what Billy Joe's got, and he's like, he's going to suddenly not be able to perform anymore. How about that? I can't remember words. I can't remember my lyrics. So him and the D Street Band, get rid of them. Get them out of here. Get him out of here. New Jersey scumbags. New Jersey scumbags, okay? It'll be two Jews who can't remember their lines. So sad. So sad. Back to you, Steve. Not the bald guy who's going to CCOT, okay? You're going to the CCOT Center, okay? Not the Epcot Center. The CCOT Center.
All right, time for a little social media dumping. This week, I'll tell you right now, this man, Dominic, is having the best fucking week ever. Here's a great picture of Dominic's wife. Yeah, no kidding, right? Dominic's wife, his ex, Rhea Ripley, his girlfriend, Liv Morgan, and his new side chick, Roxanne Perez, who gave him some nuggets.
That's the love language right there. Show up with a tray of chicken nuggets.
It's supposed to be chicken tendies.
Hey, I think that's going to be the downfall in that whole situation.
Well, yeah, of course, because it's always the nuggets. You got to grab them by the nuggets.
I want his wife to come down after all the women break up with him and the wife to go and they go, who are you? I'm his wife. And then slap him across the face and now he's got nobody. That'd be great.
Dominic Mysterio went to Eddie Guerrero's grave to show him the title and tell him we did it, which is an awesome, heartwarming thing. Dominic Mysterio explains why he doesn't do too many spectacular high-flying moves. He quote, if you go out there and wrestle 100 times and you do a moonsault 90% of the time, the people are going to expect it. If I give it to them 10% of the time, when I do hit that moonsault, everyone's going to be like, damn, did you see the moonsault? It's going to mean more, which is
smart.
Phenomenal. Yep.
Smart.
Okay. Dominic didn't hold back in a scathing and profanity-laced tirade against CM Punk, questioning both Punk's credibility and circumstances surrounding his recent WrestleMania main event appearance. Mysterio made it clear that the animosity is mutual. I think we just both mutually hate each other equally. I fucking hate CM Punk. He mocked Punk's appearance and longevity in the business, saying, I don't know if it's because he looks like Eddie Munster and I want to kick him in the fucking face, or the fact that everyone is like, he finally did it. He finally got his WrestleMania main event. Good for you, old man. 60 years old. It took you, what, 45 years to accomplish your one goal? Dominic then likened Punk to a tantrum-throwing child, implying that his main event opportunity was handed to him just to quiet his complaints. quote, it's what they say about babies. When they have tantrums, you give them what they want so they shut the fuck up. I'm pretty sure that's what happened. That's why he needed a favor from Paul Heyman. He further questioned Punk's legacy, stating, there's a reason he was never in the main event. You call yourself the best in the world? I don't need to go around calling myself the best in the world. People know I'm better than the best. Dominic then compared the praise he receives organically to Punk's self-promotion. You have John Cena talking about me, JBL, AJ Styles, legends talking about me. I don't need to do it for myself or say these things about me because people say it for me. My work speaks for itself. Dominic concluded by catching himself mid-rant. Here you go with CM Punk. I could go on this rant forever, but I need to stop myself, indicating that his feelings towards Punk run deep and unresolved. That was on Casual Conversations with the Classic.
So I think it's pretty safe to say that we're going to end up seeing a Dom versus CM Punk feud.
Or at least a match, man. Yeah, that'd be fun. Yeah. And then from Dirty Dom himself, oh man, I'm dead. WWE Universe, y'all need to calm down. This is getting wild now. They have a picture of the women's title then, which is the women's championship, and women's title now, a picture of Dom.
That's awesome.
And finally, it doesn't get any better than this. Some woman got Dirty Dom as a Care Bear tattooed on herself.
And he's eating the puss. You gotta, there you go.
Well, he's licking the mochot. I recently hear a little blurry pick in this this from Twitter, but Real Killer Cross gave Sabu a little tribute, super over, love him. So that was from the main event, but I think 2 weeks ago. Speaking of Sabu tributes, NWA, you had Billy Corgan and a bunch of the ECW originals doing a tribute at the NWA show. Throwing it back, Paul Bearer and The Undertaker doing an autograph signing circa about 1992-ish, 93-ish, and then here at WrestleMania 9. How about that? And speaking of this, Kane and Paul Bearer, circa Kane's actual debut. So
I don't know. He's got an orange face, so that looks more like Paul Heyman.
Kind of. It's because he's missing the mustache. He didn't have the mustache at that time. This guy, Jason Baker, said, I had the honor of doing something that is so cool to my heart that I'm still fighting back tears while writing this. I got a call from JoJo wanting to fulfill Nash's birthday wish, which was to dress up like his dad, of course, Bray, for his birthday party, needless to say. Sandy Mimpson and I dropped everything to make this happen for such an incredible little man. We love you, Nash, and hope you had the best birthday ever. This is Jason Baker, is the guy who made the original mask for Bray and did, you know, Bray's Fiend stuff. This mask from Bray's original mold of the costume by Sandy Mimpson, based on the original Fiend gear created by Kayla Custom Rockwear. Now the only thing left to do is let him in, and man, such cool pictures of him as his dad. That's just amazing. WWE.com has come to terms with the release of Cody Rhodes as of today, May 22nd, 2016. That's crazy, man. Think where he's gone now. It's like 9 years ago, and Jesus Christ, you know, the face of the company now, which makes us think of the old song, Cody Rhodes, take me home to the place I belong, or whatever John Denver said. You know that part in the movie where, you know, it just kind of stops with a record scratch, and here would be Pat McAfee with the record scratch and a freeze frame going, yep, that's me. You're probably wondering how I got here. With that chop from Walter, oh man, still the fucking the welts on him, man. Hulk Hogan and Real American Brands wants to acquire Hooters intellectual property. This is part of a mission to take over existing brands that represent what America is all about: freedom, grit, and good times, and bring them back to relevance, per TMZ. So it probably looked something like this. There's Hogan and Austin having a couple beers, real American beers at the newly acquired Hooters. You know, sit downs of guys who should have faced off, never did, like Sting.
That would have been great.
Yeah. Of course, you can't have a Hooters without Ric Flair eating some wings.
Looks like Doc Brown.
Blue wings.
Yeah. And of course, give me those Hooters. Give me some wings. She signed a non-disclosure before giving those wings. And of course, every Hooters waitress will look like this.
Oh, Jesus Christ. I'm going to be sick.
Speaking of sick, Troy Cirkness said, Kenny Omega, Logan Paul is a celebrity. He should not be involved. And also, Kenny booking 6 months ago with those guys. Oh, man, those Costco guys. Where, are they back at Costco? Eating hot dogs or whatever the fuck they do?
No, double chocolate.
Collecting chunk samples.
Yeah.
Boom. Boom. Randy Macho Man Savage and Elizabeth meeting the Ramones' Johnny Ramone during an autograph session at Video Shack in Manhattan. That's fucking bitch right there.
That's dope. That's speaking awesome. Of Worlds Collide.
Right. Hey, speaking of Worlds Collide here too, it's amusement
does
park.
You have to wear the three-piece suit for a fucking roller coaster?
That's fucking great, man. That's
live so the gimmick.
Good. Yeah, and obviously Brandy had the kids with. John Cena dropped this, his cover of his album with a ice cream cone on top of it. Many people feel that this is alluding to him and Punk having a little feud coming up. And speaking of CM Punk, he was putting Seth Rollins to sleep, which was the cutest thing I think I've ever seen. What was
that happened tonight?
Oh yeah, the book he was reading was the Berenstain Bears get released by WWE. Things to come. Check out my BWT store. New podcast going to drop.
That's fucked up. Little girl is going to my OnlyFans. Jeez, you're going over that. Oh my god!
And some fan art here of the Bane version of Braun Strowman or Braun Breaker. You know, Seth as the Joker and Paul Heyman as the Penguin. That's fucking pretty tight right there.
Yeah, except he looks like he's got like a jock strap on.
What, Braun Breaker?
Yeah, I don't know. It's like a, I know it's AI. He's got like a metal nose, and I know he's supposed to be Bane, but look, I don't know. Looks like a fucking jock strap.
He looks like the special member of the Shield. I'm a part of the Shield. I'm Braun Breaker. All right. As Bobby Heenan once said, never touch a midget. You don't know where they've been. Speaking of Bobby Heenan, remember that time him and Andre switched bodies? And Andre on the set of $6 Million Man as the Sasquatch. John Cena, you can't see dirt. R. Sleuth. Elementary Little Jimmy, the Heartburn Kid, Shawn Michaels, Brett, the Shitman Shart, the Excellence of Fluctuation.
I love the costumes, all kind of shit stains.
The only thing more powerful than his muscles is his overthinking, the ultimate warrior.
Nah, hey. Not as good as Brett, the Shitman Shart.
Snooper Fly, Jimmy Snuka. John Dwayne.
That's good, yeah.
Whoopi Goldberg.
Oh, God, no.
You know,
some
signs in the audience. New political movement just dropped. Pro-science, pro-choice, pro-wrestling. And, of course, the sign of the week. Face Fuck Me Finn by that woman right there. Can't go wrong.
Dude, you know I'm Irish.
Fucking, all right, Darby Allin put up the AEW banner or flag or whatever it was on top of Mount.
Hey, look, you can't be on top of the ratings, but you can be on top of the world still by getting your $3 banner dragged up by a hipster who's been run over by a city bus to Mount Everest.
Isn't it $99 to subscribe for Mercedes Motwatz?
You know, it, regardless of whatever side of the professional fandom that you're on, climbing Mount Everest is a great achievement, and kudos to Darby Allin for doing it. It was dope to see him unfurl the AEW flag at the top of Mount Everest. And obviously that's something that Tony's gonna capitalize on that shit, or so we hope. Major push incoming for Darby.
Yeah, I wish someone would have majorly pushed him off the fucking mountain, but you know. Oh, come on. The guy got hit by a bus and lived. I'm sure he would have fucking survived a fall off
a mountain. I'm sure he brought a flamethrower to the top of it and set the mountain on fire.
Yeah. Yeah. Too bad TK wasn't up there with him. And
much snow.
Well, there's never enough snow.
No, I think Tony was definitely on the slopes. He just wasn't on Mount Everest. Or else maybe he was on his own Mount Everest.
I'll be there right with you, kid in spirit. I'm calling this one the Widowmaker. This is K-13.
Jesus Christ. If anyone's not watching, Rob just literally did three lines of coke, if you're just listening to the broadcast. Yeah. So he now actually might be kind of funny.
Oh,
you can only hope.
Yeah.
You know, it's going to be funny when they deport you to Sitka and you're in El Salvador and you're going, "Mommy, what happened? I should have been nicer to the president. And now I'm going to be getting butt raped by Mercedes Monet's butler." He was Mexican, so we deported him.
Oh man, I so wish you would, Belushi. Oh, love you, Rob. You know, Rob, you can't be mad because in life things happen. And Jim Ross, good old JR, was diagnosed this week with colon cancer. Surgery is being scheduled in the next week or two. I appreciate your concern and support. So, you know, we joke, we have fun, we take jabs at each other, but in the long run, of course, life is short. And sometimes we forget that legends, can be gone in a second. So, it's just hard to see. And hopefully everything goes well. Everybody here
at Vegas Bad Boys, that is by far in my lifetime the greatest commentator that you could ever hope for in wrestling, and in his own right a wrestling mastermind who basically built that 90s to 2000s WWE Attitude Era roster. One of the guys responsible for that. Whether or not he's at the top of his commentary game now is irrelevant. When you get a chance to hear him call a match once in a while, the planets align and he gets some great calls into this day, and they still use him. They still use Jim Ross, his voiceover for some of these promotions. Like when you hear Busted Open, not to promote somebody else, but you know, we're not on every day of the week yet. You still hear Jim Ross. My God, MJF is busted open. And so, you know, the value that people have in him, and he'll get well. He's a tough son of a bitch.
I'm sorry, I had to laugh because when you said we're not on 7 days a week yet, Steve, like his face sunk backwards. It's like, oh Jesus Christ, I gotta be on with these assholes for 7 days a fucking week.
Seven days of fuzzy slippers.
I can barely fucking deal with it one day. Are you kidding me?
Yeah, but Steve. You're going to look like this.
What the fuck? Oh, my God.
In all seriousness, though, T's and P's to the GOAT, Jim Ross is the greatest commentator of all time. A man that acted as the soundtrack for my childhood, and I would venture a guess is to say most of the listening audience. And yeah, he this is just a temporary setback and one that hopefully he'll overcome. But thoughts and prayers to you, JR.
You know, one of the things that I just watched the Rock had produced the Wrestling Territories, stories from the Wrestling Territories docuseries. And they did an episode, which I think it was Mid-South, that involved like Jake Roberts and JR, and probably recorded about 3 years ago, maybe 3-4 years ago. And what was fascinating to me is Jake pulls out a cigarette and starts smoking a cigarette. Right. And this is like, you don't see this shit, right? You never see like Jake Roberts like smoking a cigarette. You might see him doing like fucking crack, you know, we've all seen that. Like, you know, go down the street and you see that shit. But smoking a cigarette, holy fuck, that was like very jarring. But then during the interview, like halfway through the show, you see JR pull out a cigarette, fucking light up a smoke. And I'm like, wait, what the fuck is going on? Like, you're Jim Ross. Why are you smoking? You're the voice, you know? And then you see that he has colon cancer. Now, whether or not it's related to actual, you know, smoking, was he doing it for years? Is it something newer in his later age? I don't know. But, you know, it does bring into that concept of, you know, everyone's human. Yeah. We forget it. And I think the only one that probably isn't human is a certain president.
You know what? I'm made of gold and steel, gold and steel. In fact, they reinforced my bones with steel from the World Trade Center. And it was a lot of money, believe me. It was billions and billions and billions of dollars. I said, I want the very best steel, and I want you to reinforce it and gold plate it. And they call me the Trumpinator. That I didn't come up with that. I didn't come up with that name. They said, Donald the Trumpinator, and now you are the center of all world trade.
So, Rob, where are you performing?
Actually, I got to take a look at my phone because I do have a show coming up. I had two shows. Want to give my thanks to all the great people at C3. I'll be there on Thursday supporting my man, Mike Stiggs, who is going to be going up. That show should be starting around 8:30. They have great Vietnamese food there. So definitely want to check out C3.
Like that kind of food?
Sure. With the birth child of Doc Brown and fucking Ric Flair. Come check that show out. We're going to have a show on the first. So just check out my page. I'll have all of that posted on my Vegas Trump Guy page or BOCE comedy page. And you'll see my shows, all of them that I've got coming up.
Awesome. Steve, final thoughts about people tuning in, maybe military service since it is Memorial Day, and possibly a place that you could, I don't know, get kind of supplements for all your nutritional and workout needs?
You know, maybe all that stuff applies, but hey, I just want to say thank you to everybody hanging out with us tonight. Thank you for liking, sharing, subscribing, doing all the stuff that you guys do. We appreciate each and every one of you. Also, a very special thank you to all the brave men and women serving this country. And as Matt said, it is Memorial Day. So today, let's keep in mind the real meaning of today. It's not to give you an additional day off from work for those of you fortunate enough to have today off work. It's to remember those who we've lost. So, thank you to all the brave men and women serving this country, whether you're doing it on lands foreign or domestic. Thank you for doing what you do so that we can do what we love to do. And last but not least, repsports.com, repsports.com. Go there for all your pre-workout, weight loss, and general energy needs. Repsports.com. Use promo code Vegas at checkout. Save yourself 10%.
There you go. Ben, wrestling was a long week of a lot of shit going on. You know, the good, the bad, and ugly. So, it's nice that we have this as an escape. You know, obviously talking about JR brings up the reality of things. But one thing is for damn sure, if you need comfortable fuzzy white slippers, you can go to IKEA and get a pair of your own fuzzy white slippers. Tell them DJ Impact sent ya.
But tell them about it.
DJ Impact in the booth, so fine. White fuzzy slippers on the low key rhyme. Spinning records till the break of dawn. And those slippers, he got it going on. Soft beats and faders never miss. In the booth, he's bringing bliss. White fuzz keeps him on track. Every beat, he's got your back.
It's like white fuzz also keeps Tony Khan on track.
No!
Oh, man. Oh, what can we say? Again, fly that banner high up there on the pile of mountain.
Did somebody say hi?
Oh, my God. Tony, are you selling out the O2 Arena this year?
We're going to sell the O2 Arena. I can't even do the voice out because you play the clip at the end. And I realize he's not that nasally sounding. But, yeah, he would go... We're going to shout out the arena, and it's going to be one of the greatest shows that anyone's ever seen. Right, Shivani? Shut up, Shivani. And don't forget that we're going to have the 80th win for the Storm. The Storm is coming. We want to talk about Jade Cargill, who's going to be Tony Storm, and All In Texas, which is already sold out. Tickets still available.
Well, there you have it. From all of us.
And tickets still available. Perfect.
Get yours now at AEWTix.com. Seats are going fast. The 75,000 sold-out arena is going to be sold out. Did I mention it's going to be sold out? Some comp tickets are available, too. But we've got 24,000 confirmed selling seats, and then the other 50,000 will be comped by my dad, Chad. Thank you, Chad. And we're going to do – this is going to be one of the greatest shows ever, and we're going to be broadcasting live from the top of Mount Everest. Thank you so much. Thank you so much for my champion, CM Punk, and – John Moxley, who might also be my champion. And hopefully you'll get to see the AEW belt this weekend at All Out, sold out at Wembley, Texas. Thank you. Back to you, Shivani.
Did any of you have a great time tonight?
Yeah! With that, everybody, thank you for hanging out. We will we'll do it all again next week. Till then, happy wrestling.
Rolling up the strip under neon lights. Podcast mic is glowing in the desert night. Matt and Michael's leading with the swagger tight. Sin City Steve right by his side. Alright. Rob Butcher, Larry dropping truths, no fear. Broadcasting stories, make it loud and clear. From the Fremont edges to the Bellagio sphere. These bad boys rule, let me make that clear. Vegas bad boys tearing up the scene.
To Matt Michaels and the Vegas Boys of Podcasting, this is John Cena saying thank you so much.